for your goodness to us again. And Father, I pray you'd be with us tonight. Be with me as I preach, that I might preach according to your word and will. And be with all of us as we hear your word. Help us to hear not just me, but your voice and the voice of Christ and the voice of your Spirit speaking to us through your word. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a long passage of Scripture to read tonight. Exodus chapter 12 and verses 21 through 51. And I had put together a sermon that went through each of those verses and expounded on every one of them. And lightning struck and knocked it away. So you have the sermon that I'll give you tonight. But Exodus 12, 21 through 51. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of his door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord God, the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you will say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he also called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. And bless me also.' And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 6,000 men on foot, beside children, a mixed multitude. Went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, It came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside of the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you." Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. And so here we have, after all the 10 plagues, Israel is finally released. They're finally free from Egypt. And today I want to focus on this first part of this mostly, and on one theme, and that is the blood of the Lamb. First, what we see here first, and this is my first point, God's people are given instructions about the blood of the Lamb. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Well, I got something mixed in here that's not supposed to be. Okay. Oh, yeah, I got a little further ahead. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill it. Kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever." Notice first thing, the lamb has to die. And it, look at verse 21, it, the lamb, is called the Passover. The lamb is the Passover. He's the sacrifice. It is the sacrifice that makes this salvation possible. Its blood is put on and around the door and the lintel and the doorposts. They were required to stay inside the door until morning. And unless they are behind the blood-struck door, they're not safe from the death that's going to strike all the Egyptians and the firstborn of the Egyptians. If they go outside of that door, they are in danger. And this is called, in verse 24, an ordinance forever. And I believe it's ultimately called an ordinance forever. Definitely not because they put the blood on the doorpost every year or anything like that, because they didn't do that. For most I know, this is the last time they did that. But it's an ordinance forever, I believe, because of Christ. When Jesus, at the Last Supper, Luke 22, 15 through 20, talks about the Passover, he talks about the Passover and the Lord's Supper as one and the same. Listen to how this is. In Luke 22, 15 through 20, it says, "Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Notice, this is why they were to continually to observe the Passover and talk about the events to their children, because these things would ultimately point to our Lord Jesus Christ. God wanted these things perpetually in their minds, always in their practice, always in their hearts. Why? Because there was an even better and a bigger salvation than the salvation from the Exodus. And note, in Exodus, the people worshipped and obeyed. It says, so the people bowed down their head and worshipped, and then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. That night, what did they do? They worshipped him. Those were the elders. Aaron and Moses were telling them how to do these things, how to take the blood and put it on the doors. And before they left and did that, they had a little worship service there with Aaron and Moses, the elders of Israel. And then they went back to their families, and all of them did this. They did it. They had perfect obedience. And so first we see here, the blood of the Lamb is they're given these instructions about the blood of the Lamb, and they follow these instructions. And it's great. It's a great blessing to have those instructions. And that leads to point two, which the Egyptians are not given this instruction about the blood of the Lamb. It says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." All the Egyptian firstborn died, from Pharaoh on his throne to the poor Egyptian man in prison. Even the animals, the Egyptian livestock, died, and there was this great and terrible judgment in Egypt, because one firstborn in every house would die. And there wasn't a house where there wasn't somebody dead. And we can see in this the great importance of being instructed in God's word. The Egyptians had little choice, did they? They just didn't know. Nobody told them to go. You know, they knew this was coming. They'd seen 9 plagues before, and Moses talked a little bit about the death of the firstborn. But nobody came to the Egyptians and said, "Put blood on your of the lamb on the doorposts." They did not have that. And like we said this morning, we do have that. "Incline your ear," Isaiah 53 says, "and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live." We have the word of God. We have instruction about Christ, about the blood of Christ covering us from our sins. They did not. Even today, even though the gospel has gone all through the world, it's not the same for everyone, is it? I remember when I was in college, I taught English to a Chinese man who was a professor in a college, and a highly intelligent person. And I used the Bible to teach him English. And he was very willing to learn from the Bible. And I didn't even think of it as we're reading certain chapters. We get to the Christmas story. And when I got to the Christmas story and reading about Jesus and the manger and the angels coming to the shepherds and all this, he got really excited. And here's what he said to me. He said, "I've heard this somewhere before. I remember this from a long time ago when I was a child. I heard this story before." And for us living in the United States, all of us have heard it many times. But for him, it was like, "I'm remembering this. I heard it before that, before when we were reading other parts of Scripture." He never had heard it. And that's how it is in some places. The gospel is not equal everywhere. So we have a great privilege that we're able to hear the word and the instructions of God and how to be saved and all these things. Not everybody has that. Some of them have it, but they have it in very slight little ways. The Egyptians did not have it at all, and they fell to this judgment. Third point, God's word speaks to us about the great importance of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is this Lamb. I don't care how many other lambs have been slain through the Old Testament. John the Baptist comes and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." None of those other lambs actually took away sin. He is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. I've read this verse before, but it says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Christ is our Passover. He's sacrifice. He's our way of salvation. It's through the Lamb's blood that we are redeemed and saved. Revelation chapter 5 talks about the Lamb who is worthy to take the scroll. And I'm going to start in verse 8, but it says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood.'" Notice here's the Lamb. He's taking the scroll. "It's by the Lamb's blood that we are redeemed out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor." You know, notice it's all the creatures in the sea are going to be saying this, meaning fish. Can you imagine this? This is just, it's mind-boggling. "I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." He who lives forever is the Lamb that was slain. We are redeemed. How? By his blood. And when they were putting that blood on the doorposts at the Exodus, ultimately that blood was pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And therefore, like Israel, we should worship him. Notice what they do. The elders, they worship right after Moses and Aaron instruct. And here we see in Revelation describing, you know, I believe life in heaven when people recognize Jesus for who he really is. And not just people, but angels and all these different creatures. And they bow and worship him and say, "Worthy is the Lamb." They know what Jesus did when he died for us. And this is all about that. Therefore, like Israel, we should worship and obey him. And then anyone uncovered, uncleansed by the Lamb's blood, will be subject to the Lamb's wrath. The very next chapter in Revelation, at the very end of that chapter, it says, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Notice the similarity in those verses to the verses in Exodus. All the people of Israel, Egypt, are crying because one is dead in each household. And remember how they described it from Pharaoh's household even to the servant in prison. And here we see the kings and the great men and the rich men and the mighty men and every slave and every free man. All these non-believers who are not covered by the blood of the Lamb, they are under the wrath of the Lamb. And just as Israel was saved because they had the blood on the doors and Egypt lost their firstborn, they had no instruction about blood. They were lost. They worshipped all sorts of other kinds of God. So it'll be in the end. Either you're covered with the blood of the Lamb or you're not, and you're going to undergo the wrath of the Lamb. And there's really nobody else in the world. Either you're under the wrath or you're covered by the blood. It's the Lamb's blood. Fourth point. It's the Lamb's blood that gives us victory through the great tribulation. Just one more chapter in Revelation, it says, And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The righteousness of the saints, those who get through this great tribulation, are the people who have washed their blood or washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And as Israel came out of Egypt after 430 years, and Moses, you know, relates that they were there for 430 years with favor and plunder, they came out. They plundered the Egyptians, verse 30 through 42. So one day we will come out of a sin-filled world with white and glorious robes. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. They had the blood on their doorposts. We have the blood covering us. Both groups come out victorious. Fifth point. Now the observance forever changes because of Jesus. Remember, it says in Exodus 12:42, "This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." Also, verse 24, it said, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever." Well, is that what they were really supposed to observe forever? That same exact ordinance? Did they put the blood on the doorpost? No, they didn't. Now, some Jewish people still observe the Passover. And they do that. And yet, Jesus said, as I read to you before from Luke, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he goes on, and he does the Lord's Supper as if it's one and the same thing, and I believe it is. The Lord's Supper is the continuation of the Passover. And why is that? Well, because now we celebrate not just the fact that Israel was freed from Egypt, but we also are freed from our sins. Christ was the Lamb slain even before any Passover lambs were slain. Revelation 13:8 says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him." That's referring to the beast. That chapter 13 is about the beast and the things he does. And it says, "Whose names have not been written," these are the ungodly people, "their names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Those who follow the beast are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, at least however you think of that, maybe you say, well, that's from the time Adam sinned, because that's close to the very beginning. But the foundation of the world is even before that. God created the world before that, and he's the Lamb slain. It's part of God's plan that Jesus would die. He would be that Lamb slain. And so if that's part of his plan, you could say in a sense, and it's true, that the Passover lambs are after Jesus. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're Lamb slain to point to Jesus. I've used this illustration before. If you're driving to Disneyland Before you get to Disneyland, you'll see the signs that say Disneyland on them. Now, I've driven there, and there's not a whole lot of signs that say that, but there are some. And you can get very excited, especially if you have kids with you. Disneyland, I see the sign, Daddy. It's there. But you don't stop at the sign, do you? You pull over. Wow, what a sign. Oh, look at that forever and ever. No, you go to Disneyland. And all these lamps were like those signs. They were to point us to Christ. They weren't ever meant to be the main attraction and the main thing. And even the whole Exodus was not that. There's also the Song of Victory, Moses and Miriam, and this is getting ahead a little. Exodus 15 is ultimately the song of the Lamb and our Lord Jesus Christ who gets the victory through His blood. Revelation 15, verse 3 says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. They sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, meaning they were singing when the horse and rider was thrown into the sea. The Lord has triumphed gloriously, and we will be triumphing gloriously at that day as well. And it's the song of Moses and the Lamb. The Lamb gives us the victory. They could have said that in a sense even at that time because the lambs were killed and their blood was on the doorpost and that protected them. But ultimately, it's the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that's recognized. It's the blood of Christ which secures us the true everlasting covenant. It's through His blood that we are sanctified. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I said it was true, I lost my whole sermon, so there were a whole lot of details on this last part of Exodus 12. And I lost them and replaced them with some of these New Testament verses. And these New Testament verses point more to Jesus. And it's His blood. He is the Lamb of God. And it's His blood that is of the everlasting covenant. His blood saves us forever. He is the spotless Lamb, as it says in 1 Peter. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it was manifest in these last times for you. That's the last part. You know, usually I read the verse before that, which says we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. And I don't read the verse 20, but verse 20 says, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times to you. The Lamb was always the way of salvation. And yet He's been manifested now to us. How dreadful, though, not to hear of or believe in or to turn to this wonderful Lamb. It says in Revelation, I already read from Revelation chapter 6 about the wrath of the Lamb and people calling to the rocks to hide them and the mountains to fall on them. But Revelation 14 is even a scarier passage. Verse 9 through 11, it says, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and received his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of His indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Notice when these people suffer, and they suffer forever and ever, it will be in the presence of the Lamb. The Lamb who died, who could have been their salvation, He also died because of their sins. They put Him there. They nailed Him to the cross just as we did. And yet they never trust in Him. They never believe in Him. They're just like the Egyptians who had not even heard that you put the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost. They worshipped other gods. They had other things that they valued. And they were lost. And so we see in this all through Scripture, from the time of Moses and Aaron and the blood on the doorpost even till today, and even at the very end of Scripture in the book of Revelation, it's the blood of the Lamb that makes all the difference. Either we're covered with that blood and we're saved, even or washed in that blood and our sins are washed away, or we don't have that blood and we're lost. And the wrath of the Lamb is against us. Well, let's pray. Father, when we look at these verses of Scripture and when we see them and when we see the importance that You've put on Your Son and what He's done for us and how He died for us, we pray that we might not overlook these things, or that we might not undervalue these things, or we would not realize how important what our Lord Jesus, Your Son, did for us is. And Father, we pray that we might see that more and more as we look at Scripture, when we see that even before the Exodus, even when Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, it was a sacrifice of, I believe, a lamb and from his flock. And even before that, when You clothed Adam and Eve, that probably also, it says animal skins, but probably was the skin of a lamb who died. And all of these in the Old Testament, the Passover lambs, however many of them there were, and then all the sacrifices after, all of them point to Christ and what He did for us on the cross, that ultimate Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Father, help us to trust in Him. Help us to see and know the importance of what He did. And Father, help us to share that with others. And Father, give us by Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that people might see and know and understand these things and not laugh at them or reject them because they think that they are foolishness or things like that. And Father, so many are like that, but they will be lost. And so, Father, we pray for them. You'd turn them around. Father, help us to be better witnesses of these things. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.